will talk about public-private partnerships in Pakistan and provide examples how these have strengthened health services in a decentralized context. Oh, I didn't mention your degree. I think I don't actually know where your medical degree is from.
From Pakistan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you have a master's also from the Asian Institute for Health Development in Bangkok.
Thank you, Akash. Thank you, Afwa, for this opportunity for me to come and share my experience, an experience from far away, from Pakistan, the South Asia, and I will be sharing today the public-private partnership in Pakistan, an example for strengthening decentralized health services. I'm working with PLAN as country health advisor, and before I go forward, I'd like to acknowledge PLAN USA for the support, and my co-author, Tam Lewis, for supporting us and taking this forward. Let me share briefly about PLAN International. PLAN International is a private humanitarian child center organization. They are working in health and other development areas since 1937. And they came to Pakistan in 1997, and at present we are working in four districts of Pakistan that include Wihari. Wihari is the area where I will be talking about. Wihari district is located in Punjab and has 3 million population, more than 80% of which is a rural population. They are more mostly involved in the agriculture, and as you can see in the map, there's a canal of and tributaries, and because of these we managed to have agricultural activities, major crops being cotton, wheat and sugar cane, but the per acre yield remains low. Let me share something about this project, the background of this project. In 2003, the government decided to decentralize power authority to the district level. And that was the opportunity seen by PLAN as a venue for collaboration with the government to ensure how to go for a better health care, especially in the small district like Wihari. As you know, mostly we work with the consultation process, a bottom-up approach, and we started the same process with the consultation with the communities, consultation with the population at the district at the village level, and at the first level administration, which is Union Development Council, and the district health forum level. And all of these consultation resulted into identification of action, identification of the need for improvement in healthcare services by improving infrastructure of the existing facilities and by enhancing the skill of the staff. In this scenario, PLAN International came forward with the district government and to go for a public-private partnership. And this was agreed that the fund will be on nearly equal basis. We set together and developed objective. When I say we, it means the community people, the government, and PLAN International. PLAN being a right-based organization, we think that the duty bearers and the right holders can sit together and take the things forward in a better way. So the first thing was to create demand for this, and we do it by doing to create awareness in communities on issues of reproductive health, child health, and STIs. The second thing was how to improve the services, and this we did was to establish and strengthen referral system from the first level care facility to secondary level care facility that is at the district level. And then the involvement of the people there. This was done to, we set an objective to develop functional relationship of the communities with the first level care facility through their representatives. And the other thing was to build the capacity of the people for the service providers so that they can give quality services. And all we were doing is to develop a model, a prototype primary healthcare model that can be scaled up at the district level and at the national level. let me share a few of the major steps we have taken. One, on the demand side, we've hired initially an external technical advisor who can do the assessment and developing a framework of working relationship with officials at the local, municipality, district health office, and the civil society organization level. Elaborating of the agreement, detailing the investment to be made by each party and result to be achieved. And that all materialized into signature of Memorandum of Understanding between Plan International Pakistan and the district government of Bihari. And implementation of activities by each partners were clearly defined, and monitoring was defined as well. This was the beginning, a beginning with big smiles, smiles which we wanted to take forward for the children we want to work with. And here you can see the country director of Plan Pakistan on the left side and district health officer on the right-hand side. There is our regional Asia region director in the center present as well. Activities I like to share which were done was improvement of infrastructure, identification of equipment at the specified health facilities, including neonatal intensive care unit, children ward, and at the district hospital and rural health center. And in addition, we want to give a platform for the people to share their experiences. And we developed together an auditorium, a platform where the community and the health service provider can sit together and share their experiences. And to, in order to improve the quality of services, the activities included was training for the healthcare provider in the public sector. Activities also included the opportunities for the community level resources. And there were training opportunities for the people who go in the field and train people so that we can create demand. And here you can see two photographs. This is the auditorium we can build, and where the children are given an opportunity to come forward. This is one of our program called Child to Child Health, where children are trained to communicate with their peers and take the initiative from the front. Here you can see that where I'm coming from is a very conservative society, where girls are not allowed to come out of their houses. We, through this program, have managed to bring the girls to take part in child-to-child health, and they're taking the front seat. On the other feature, the community health workers are being trained. This is not the training which I'm trying to focus on. I'm showing this picture because this is an opportunity for these health workers to come forward and build linkages and break those barriers they have to coming to the city. And the other activities at the community level where health workers were going forward was community health education and health promotion activities. And in this picture, we are not showing the picture that the activity is going on, but we are trying to show you that the women are also sitting there along with the men, so that the men and women can understand their health issues and then can take forward how the committee taking it. The other is the planning and coordination activities. The coordination activities used to be at the district level. We brought them to the village level and on a rotational basis. The planning coordination activities between the government authorities, the civil society authority, and Plan International. And you can see this is happening in one village. All this result in building up the confidence which was required in the public health service delivery. And you can see here, there is more than 200% increase in the outpatient delivery visits, 40% increase in admission in children ward, 100% increase in admission in neonatal intensive care unit. Infant mortality reduced from 50% to 30%. And this helped the district government realizing that they will be able to meet their Millennium Development Goal of reducing the infant mortality. This model was soon very popular in Pakistan, and the other districts also approached Plan Pakistan. And we have replicated this model in Miawali and in Burewala, the two districts. And the best part of it is this all project has been taken by the government, and they have included these projects in their annual budgets. And this has been in an operation now. I conclude with these remarks that decentralization of authorities to the district level in Pakistan paved the way to the success of this partnership and in completion of this project. Engagement of communities, local government official, and the public sector service provider facilitated the identification of key activities for the partnership. A clear and common understanding among the partner led to the success. Public sector ownership is reflected through recurrent allocation of resources, both human and financial, for improved healthcare of women and children. Community, at their part, perceive them as they empower them socially as psychologically. And this is the smile we like to see on the faces. And I hope we are able to alleviate some of their problems that facilitated to have these smiles. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Irfan. That was a great presentation and very interesting that you talked about replication and this model has caught on. So why don't we open it up for questions? Let me see if we can. We can't. So you have to come up here. Go ahead. Yes, please. All right.
I have a question.
That is a good question. I'm sorry I didn't clarify that. What happened, in effect, is that most of the community-based health insurance schemes sort of dissolved and sort of morphed into the government district-wide schemes. And so that was, you know, I think there was some disagreement about, you know, that doing that, because I think some people were real believers in that community-based, you know, health insurance movement. But while they weren't forced out, just the way that the policy was designed in some of the in the legislation, it just made it a little more difficult. I think that a private insurance scheme would have to pay some kind of tariffs to remain in business, and it was a little bit out of reach of most of these community-based schemes to do so. So most of them have, my understanding is most of them have now dissolved, and they have been replaced by these district-based schemes that are part of the government package.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Please. With respect to the Pakistan program, what opportunities do the girls you are training have when they've completed their schooling?
Do you want to come here to the microphone?
Can you repeat your question, please? I think we are training them on child-to-child health approaches so that they can reach children of their own age group and to disseminate the health promotional messages. But when what you are talking about their educational background, I think this field is open for them to go. And things are changing in Pakistan. There are more opportunities for the girls now for their career development.
Have you deliberated?
Bangladesh. It is rather very good that if they are using commercial sector, especially by the poor population, they are really becoming confident enough. But why do you think in Kenya it has become a bit different? Thank you very much.
A couple of things to say before I answer your question. My name is Maido, and my colleague Sohail Aga was with us, but he's in Pakistan right now. And I should also mention that, as Eckhart mentioned briefly earlier, the study was conducted under Private Partnership One project, which Sarah here is also working on. And so if I miss anything in the big picture, Sarah can jump in. in answering your questions, the first one, we did look at all contraceptives. The data that I presented were all modern contraceptive pills. It's not just pills and condoms. The reason I mentioned pills and condoms probably was because when I mentioned social marketing programs, that may play some role in the commercial or private sector in these countries. So that may create some confusion. Yeah, and your second question, what was it? The second question?
About inequality in Kenya. You mentioned that it is commercial sector actually doesn't bring in inequality, but in Kenya it was a bit different.
Oh, yes. I think what's important, the important difference is, say, between Kenya and Bangladesh was there are several factors. One is the demand for family planning. In Bangladesh, the demand was already there by the time that there was a switch from the public sector to the private sector. So the government was already very strong in Bangladesh, and especially in terms of creating demand for family planning. So when there was a switch, then people who can afford family planning services would be willing to go to the commercial sectors for family planning services, and it didn't happen yet to that scale, to the same extent in Kenya. And the second point was the second difference is probably with the public sector role in contraceptive provision. In Bangladesh, it remained very strong throughout the years, whereas in Kenya, they try to provide contraceptives at low cost or free of charge, and at the same time there were some increases in demands and also declines in funding, so they couldn't keep up and mobilize their resources to meet the demand, and as a result there was a decline in Kenya among poor women. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's great. Peter, you had your hand up.
Peter Cross, I work with a young startup firm called Ideas. It's more an observation than a question, but it looked to me like from the graph that you presented on Kenya that the NGOs were not doing a very good job at targeting their support to the lower quintile. In fact, I think the largest share of their work was in fact going to the wealthiest quintile. It was quite obvious that if your so-called public sector is going to target the wealthiest, you're going to have a pretty difficult time convincing the commercial sector, or the commercial sector's input isn't really going to show much positive effect.
Interesting observation.
Yes, I think that's very true, and that's the implication of this present of the study, that the public sector should really target the, including NGOs with funding from outside. And in Kenya case, it was mainly the Family Planning Association and Mary Stopes International, and they receive a lot of funding from USAID as well. And so when the funding declined, they had difficulties in meeting and reaching out to poor women as well. Yeah.
Yes. My name is Luke Manmohatola. I'm from Guinea, French, Cambodian country. Please, my English is not very fluent.
Very good.
I have two questions. Sure, this is what you present in the presentation of the air committee. You have seen in each member, as one girl must pay $9. And you see that in our country, we have some several people who are vulnerable poor. And you indicate in your presentation that it's necessary to exempt poor people. We pay them. How we can take account their health problems, health problem. My second question is that in our country, mutual system, we are developing in our country a package of essential, using essential drugs. And when you go to a health facility, an essential public health facility, you must pay and take your drugs. I think that you have a partnership with mutual system and health facility. What will it effect on the business account for health facility when they are developed with the partnership? Thank you.
All right, very good questions. Sarah, go for it.
Okay. I think, so just to clarify, the first question had to do with if you're exempting the poor, where will the money come from? Okay. And that basically, as part of the legislation, the government is setting aside, they actually added a 2.5% tax on most goods and services. So whenever you go to a restaurant or you buy something, you stay at a hotel, the extra 2.5% tax was added, and that is all going to fund the National Health Insurance Program. And it's meant to, that's the money that's meant to cover the elderly and the poor and anyone who's exempt. And now that's going to also include children under 18 and pregnant women. So that list of exemptions is growing, and there is a concern that will the government actually take in enough money from these taxes to cover this growing population. So that is a big question right now. And your second question, it was, you were talking about a partnership about drugs. Could maybe just clarify that a little bit for me?
In our country now, health facility, public health facility, sell to people drugs, mm-hmm. and receive them some money.
At the health facility?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the effect on the
Yeah, and I mean, theoretically, under the new system, before national health insurance, that was the case in Ghana too. So people had to pay out of pocket for drugs. And when we did our baseline in 2004, this is kind of before national health insurance was really implemented, we found that drug purchases were a major driver of out of pocket costs for curative care. And so it's people were paying a lot of money. Under the national health insurance, drugs that are included on the essential list for national health insurance are covered under the insurance. So if you pay your premium and you've got your ID card, then theoretically you should receive drugs for free as long as they're on that list. So I think there is a big difference then between uninsured and insured in terms of out-of-pocket payments for drugs, because you know once you're insured, most of your drugs should be covered. Does that answer your question? Oh,
great.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Really three great presentations. I enjoyed it very much. I hope you did too. Let's give a final hand. I'm sorry, we have to close. And feel free to come up and ask any questions here to the panelists. Thank you again for coming, everybody. Enjoy the final hours of the conference. Thanks again.
Thanks.
It was well done. Thank you for making my job.
Thank you.